I'm not going to reiterate all the same arguments that Ms. Oldvater argued as well, but obviously I do have separate interests represented here. I represent Focus Industrial Workforces, Inc., as well as the four individual defendants, Tammy Peterson, Austin Slater, Ben Sharp, and Ashley Poyer. And I want to address a question, Judge Stitt, that you raised specifically. You raised a question relative to if the notice was dated January 1st and wasn't sent until a few days later, would the three additional
days... Or a month or 2 months or whatever.
Correct. And there's actually a case on point directly on this, and that was cited in the briefing. It was the Columbus Glass and Window case v. Harris, 945 Southwest 2nd 5. In that case, it dealt with a 10-day notice of appeal from the Associate Circuit Court. And the court said the whole point of the rationale of 4401E is it's triggered by service, as you pointed out. The appeal statute is not triggered by service of a notice. Arguably, they served the notice by mail, and even if they didn't get it, and in this case, it was a 10-day period of time. The argument is that it is a jurisdictional issue. That 10 days started to run from the date of the notice. Here, the 90 days...
Of course, for an appeal, there's a right to file a late notice of appeal, so there's a saving...
Yes, but they held the 10-day notice to be applicable from the date of a notice because it wasn't triggered by service. Yes, they put the judgment in the mail, but the statute 4401E simply applies when something is triggered by service.
Don't we, in other contexts, when, say, the statute of limitations for something is shortened, so say it was 5 years and shortened to 2 years, and people who are 3 years out or 4 years out would otherwise be precluded, they give a reasonable time for someone to file after a change in the statute. Would that be... That's not these facts.
So yeah, right. And so here, Your Honor, we have a specific statute. Missouri Rev Stat 213.111.1 provides that a plaintiff must file suit from 90 days from the date of the notice. Not 90 days after receipt, which is the issue under Title VII. They like to confuse those issues. It's 90 days from the date of the notice. The Hammond case that we cited to this court is directly on all fours. In that case, the plaintiff filed suit on the 91st day, same as here. The trial court dismissed, and the Court of Appeals for the Western District affirmed that decision. Hammond was decided in 2003. If the legislature thought that the interpretation in Hammond was unclear, they had every opportunity in which to change the statute or make it clear. In fact, it's been 14 years. Monday night at 10 p.m., Senate Bill 43 was passed, changing the Missouri Human Rights Act. Nowhere in those changes in Senate Bill 43 did they change this language. Hammond is controlling. Judge Breckenridge, to answer your question, you would have to overrule Hammond in order to find in favor of the plaintiff in this case. It is good law. The drafters of the MHRA did not include any exceptions to this strict deadline. They've tried to argue that somehow the MHRA is silent on when the 90-day period starts to run. It's not silent. It's clear. Judge Breckenridge, you also pointed out an issue as to there were two different holdings in Hammond, one that applied the clear language of the rule and one that applied an administrative issue. You do not need to overrule Hammond to find in our favor. At the heart of the plaintiff's argument is that somehow Rule 4401E applies to extend three additional days. Here, it is clear the plaintiff does not contest the date of the right to sue letter. They don't contest that she filed on 91 days. They don't contest that she filed on a Wednesday, which was not a weekend or a legal holiday. But they simply try to argue that if you were to rule in our favor, that somehow you would be eviscerating the procedural rules. The procedural rules, though, here, you would not be eviscerating. Judge Breckenridge, you made a comment relative to, don't we have to apply the rules as they're stated? And that is correct. Rule 4401A is much broader than 4401E. And to be clear, the Morris court, the Morris decision involved 4401A. Specifically provides, in computing any period of time by the rules or any applicable statute, it is the holiday or legal holiday or weekend that does not apply. That is not what 4401E says. In fact, if you were to apply Rule 4401E to the plaintiff's claims, it would actually be a violation of Article 5, Section 5, which provides the Supreme Court can make rules relating to the courts, but it cannot alter substantive rights. Once a statute of limitations expires, this court has held that a defendant has a vested substantive right not to be free from suit. Here, on May 19th, 2016, at 12:01 a.m., Focus and the individual defendants had a vested right not to be sued. To extend the time frame and apply 4401E to that is to take away that vested substantive right. If the Missouri General Assembly intended to create a longer period of time here, they could have used the words differently. They could have modeled it after Title VII. Council makes a big point trying to say that somehow this would make the MHRA more restrictive. Well, the MHRA is more expansive and more restrictive, and there are certain hurdles that they have to follow in order to file their claim. They have to file a claim with the Missouri Commission on Human Rights. They also have to file suit within 90 days from the date of the letter. You asked a question whether the notice was unclear. The notice couldn't be more clear. It states in two separate places to the plaintiff, you must file suit within 90 days from the date of this letter, or your right to sue is lost.
Would this court have the authority to write subsection E of 4104 to say anytime notice is required, we had 3 days for mailing? Addressing a procedural question, it doesn't. If it didn't say, if notice, I don't have it open to that language, but if it didn't talk about from the date of time of service, if it says after, right now it says when you have a right to do some act after the service of a notice or other paper. If instead it says when you're required to do some act, 3 days shall be added to the prescribed period for mailing. Could we do that? Because it's a procedural issue about how, when you have to file?
No, Your Honor, because you would be taking away a vested substantive right. The statute at issue in this case.
No, that's only after the time is run. I don't mean in this case.
Okay.
I mean going forward.
Going forward, it's up for the legislature to rewrite the statute. Rule 410E only applies when you are required to do something or act upon service.
As now written, I'm saying if we rewrote it, isn't that in our authority to do that going forward, not affecting substantive rights, unless the legislature enacts a law specifically addressing that and overrules it, since it's a matter of procedure, because everything in our rules is a matter of procedure.
It's in within your rules to change Rule 4401E, if you so choose. I would still argue that it's not within the procedural rule framework to change a substantive right. And so if the application of Rule 4401E would take away a vested right,
if something is vested, that begs the question.
Yes, right. Yes. Yes, Your Honor. In sum, Missouri law does not allow for the courts to extend the statute of limitations unless the legislature has specifically provided for it. They have not. In this case, this court issued a preliminary writ. In this case, we are asking that the court make permanent and absolute the writ issued. The four individual defendants in this case, the only way the plaintiff has the four individual defendants in this case is under the MHRA. This writ needs to be made absolute. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. May it please the Court, Your Honor.
Certainly.
I'll do my best not to retread ground that the Court recently heard, and I'll do my best to attempt to jump around and address some of the points that may have not been made earlier. First, as I pointed out in the brief in this matter, as well as the other Church and Dwight matter, the statute of limitations, Missouri considers statute of limitations to be a procedural issue. The Abbott case makes that clear. And because statute of limitations are considered to be a procedural issue, the rules of civil procedure, when in conflict, are going to trump Section 213.111, and specifically Rule 4401E. The Reese case, State versus Reese, which cited Rule 52.13 in an analogous set of facts, discussed the same issue, as well as the SJV and the CRIST, C-R-I-S-T, cases that we cited in our brief. Because they're procedural and because they're in conflict, that is why they prevail. Under this Court's inherent authority under Article 5, subsection 5, those rules are in conflict with the statute, and they will prevail when applied as to the triggering of the notice of the right to sue notice. I can't say that enough. It's a right to sue notice under the Missouri Human Rights Act. 4401E in the Hammond case, which would have to be overruled. 4401E, the Court pointed out, wasn't even reserved for appellate review. And when they actually took a look at it under appellate review, the reason the Court found that 4401E was inapplicable was because the Court believed it to be an administrative matter. I think it is pretty clear in the Morris case, which was decided after Hammond, and which has been cited even in the Journal of Missouri Bar by one of our leading authorities in the employment field, as the definitive statement on the application of our rules of civil procedure to the filing of a cause of action under the MHRA, shows that the action is timely because that rule should apply.
But your opponent says that Morrison implicates 4401A, not 4401E.
Right, and I will concede that there is some language that's different in those rules, but I think it's a distinction without a difference, Your Honor. I think it's immaterial, and I think when you actually have appellate review, which the Hammond case did not in any great detail, it was the last point. But when the Court does undertake an analysis of appellate review for 4401E, it will find that it applies equally. And the reason it applies equally, Your Honor, is that uniformity. And when you look at the Bowling case the Supreme Court decided in 1974, you will see that uniformity and public policy was the reason that that statute should not, if it fell on a holiday or a weekend, for example. Well, we don't want the clerk's office to be open on a holiday or a weekend. Even with electronic filing, that may change now. But back when things were on paper and people walked in to file their case, there was a reason for that. There's a reason for this, too. And Judge Stith has pointed it out several times today. It's that mailing issue. It's that getting your information issue where all of a sudden that 90 days could be 90, it could be 89, it could be 87, it could be 80, it could be 70. It could be any number of days. And if you believe the cold application of 213.111, ignoring all the public policy, all the favoring cases to be disposed of on the merits, the reason we had a Missouri Human Rights Act in the first place, you're going to find that that trumps inconsistent language that's found in that statute. So when the Court does undertake its review as the highest court of 4401E to this set of facts, it certainly will find different than Hammond, who kind of came out with it at the end of the opinion, to be honest, and Morris pointed out why that was wrong, specifically that point. The Hammond case said, we can't rewrite the statute, we don't have that authority. The authority this Court has is under Article 5. And the authority this Court has under Article 5 to not rewrite the statute, but interpret the statute in light of the rules of civil procedure, show that it should be, those rules should be given effect, and that 3 days for uniformity purposes should be added to preserve a case that was filed 103 minutes after this 90-day verbiage that's found in the Act and found in the letter. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Just 2 points, Your Honor. And one is just really to clear up an issue that he keeps mentioning, and he keeps talking about receipt of the notice and the mailing. If the legislature intended to have it be 90 days from receipt or after service, they could have said so. They could have mirrored the language of Title VII, which is upon receipt. We are to assume that the legislature knew what they were doing and intended the words that they used. And it is for the courts and the litigants to apply the words as written. It is for the legislature to change the law, not for the courts or the litigants to rewrite the law. Also on this statute of limitations issue, counsel had mentioned that it is a procedural issue. This court has held, once the statute of limitations has expired, the defendant has an acquired, vested, substantive right to be free from suit. That's the Doe v. Roman case at 862 Southwest 2nd, 338.
Prior to the right vesting, it's a procedural matter.
Correct. And so we would argue that on May 19th, 2016 at 12:01 a.m., there was a vested substantive right on the defendants to be free from suit. We would ask that this court make permanent and absolute the writ that was granted in this case. Thank you.
Thank you. Case will be submitted.